So unfortunately, the woman was pushing and prodding on my whole body, trying to find where my pain is. And I told her I'm several times, I'm really trying to like you. And everything within me would never hit a woman, but I was starting to feel like I might make an exception. I mean, it was unbelievably painful to have somebody pushing on parts of me that are excruciatingly painful.
Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Welcome to There Is Hope Radio. We are going to continue our interview with Joshua about his rehab, of what all has gone on. We have talked about his brain injury. We talked about the rehab recovery for his facial injuries. We have talked about his throat and about his speech struggles and short memory loss and how he's regaining that. We talked about his broken ribs, and he wishes he was in recovery completely, but he's getting there. Hopefully within the next month, that'll be pretty much taken care of. So the next area that we should probably go to is the right side of your shoulder. This was found out when he was started to do his pain management, go to a pain clinic.
Only a month ago.
Yeah, only a month ago did he know that. So why don't you cover that for a second?
Yeah, I was doing my intake with a pain management team at an office here and locally, and so unfortunately, the woman was pushing and prodding on my whole body, trying to find where my pain is. And I told her I'm several times, I'm really trying to like you. And everything within me would never hit a woman, but I was starting to feel like I might make an exception. I mean, it was unbelievably painful to have somebody pushing on parts of me that are excruciatingly painful. And out of nowhere, as she's pushing around on me, she's pushing on my arm, and I'm thinking, I don't have an arm injury. Why are you even going there?
Right arm. And,
yeah, right arm. And she started on my forearm and stuff, and thinking, that's not one of my injuries. And then she started going past the elbow up towards my shoulder, and she touched something, barely touched it, and I nearly jumped out of my wheelchair. I mean, it was beyond painful. She found something that I did not know was there, and I simply haven't been able to lift my arms very high because of back problems, injuries, and so I assumed the reason I couldn't lift my arms was because of the fact that every time I try to, my back can't take pain, that much pain. And it just so happened I do have a right shoulder injury, and that's the side that the vehicle hit me on. And so it makes sense that there was some damage done. But thankfully, what it turned out to be was calcific tendinosis. And what that is basically a calcium buildup from the injury, from the crash. Your body is kind of like trying to push out stuff to heal bones and everything else, and calcium ends up getting built up in the tendons, and it's almost like having a rock and having your tendons rub across that rock. And so that's why I was having pain when my back was just more tremendous than the pain in my arm, and so I didn't lift my shoulders very often and my arms very often. But when she found that, Lord Almighty, I knew we found something new.
Right. And lucky enough, that's not really, quote, injury. That's just
correct. It is not an injury. It is just a result from the injury, from my injuries. My body literally has been trying to push out calcium to heal tons of bones. And it just so happened that, that the area probably was bruised pretty good. Unfortunately, some calcium got built up around those tendons. But that is something that I still suffer from, the pain, but we have done one shot so far, and it lasted for about 4 or 5 days where I didn't have any pain in that arm, and it's definitely back, but that is something they're working on with all the other parts of me that they're trying to release the pain in.
obviously you got to deal with the pain and you don't want it, but that's the minor part of all his injuries.
That's a mosquito bite.
yeah, compared to...
And we'll talk about my actual mosquito bite here in a minute.
Yeah. So, you know, again, we can work through that, and if you had that the rest of your life, that would be minor compared to everything else, but obviously it's not minor and to deal with. So then the mosquito bite is on the left side. So why don't
you... No, that's right side. Right side. Yeah, I call it a mosquito bite because it as scary as it might sound, it's the least painful of everything right now, and it is actually, my thumb is still broken. I had pins in it for it to heal. It apparently never healed, and they've done an MRI a CAT scan and x-rays and labs to make sure I don't have any internal infections or anything. And the beginning of February, I'll be going in for a surgery consult, and they're going to have to go in, do my final, hopefully, surgery. It'll be my ninth surgery. That is my thumb. It is pretty significantly broken still. There's literally bone and a gap, a visible gap, and then bone again. And then there's also a floating bone that is not attached to anything. And so they're going to determine, still trying to determine if they're going to pull that out, but they're going to try to reattach with pins my thumb again. So I'm going to go back to having pins in my thumb.
So they may pull the bone, the floating bone out, and then put pins for the rest of the bones that's in the thumb.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, all righty. We got that. So then the left arm.
That's been kind of on pause as far as rehab.
Yeah, so how much rehab needs to be done still, or what kind of disorder is that?
Pretty significant amount. I have a ton of scar tissue that's along the scar line where the plate's in my arm. I do have pretty decent range of motion with my hand. There is certain things that do hurt pretty significantly, but overall, it's gotten a lot better. It's just the scar tissue that is there, it does limit some things, and it's because the scar tissue's grown around, you know, where the scar was, and then it's attached itself to some of the tendons, and so they just can't move their full length because they're attached to the scar tissue. And so I've got to go see a hand specialist or hand therapist because of all my injuries. This has been kind of a back burner one.
Okay. All right.
If you wanted to move from there, it's the filter. Yeah. So we're getting that out on Friday, hopefully.
Talk about this filter. So I'm going to say this so I don't forget. I really want to talk to the doctor before they do that surgery. So we need to see if we can talk to him because I have some concerns. I want to talk to him about that. But go ahead.
Yeah. So it's called an IVC. It's an inferior vena cava filter, and it's in they go in through the jugular right where the blood would be going for the lungs, and the whole point of it was because of the blood clot that was in my left leg, which I do not have anymore because of blood thinners. But the filter I just found out not too long ago was supposed to come out after 2 months, and unfortunately there is a potential that they're not careful, it can actually break when they're trying to get it out, and I'll have a bunch of metal floating through my veins. And then the next thing is if they do find out that as they're trying to get it out that it's unsafe and they think they're going to do some damage and possibly break it, it will be left in me. And if it is left in me, I will be on blood thinners for the rest of my life, and there is some complications with that being in you. So, you know, God willing, it'll come out no problem whatsoever, and we'll be good. But as far as recovery with that, there is no real recovery. It's just a procedure.
So, and I should say that, so he's having that surgery Friday. I don't think I told you, Josh, but for our listeners, I'll say it because everything we're sharing is hopefully somebody goes through some of the stuff, they learn something we didn't know, and they'll be on top of it ahead of time. For example, the filter should have been out a long time ago. So if you have a loved one that gets one of those filters in, if it isn't out in a couple months, you got to scream, yell, and do everything else.
One last thing on that, just for listeners, if you have something that is stated in like that, I can tell you something, at least that helps me, is a little bit of humor. And I have already told the family, if it stays with me, I'm naming him Wilson, after the tennis ball from Castaway that
Tom
Hanks took as a friend. And so my little buddy that's in me will have a name. Just to add a little humor to the, you know, unfortunate event of it, and it just keeps me a little more positive if it goes south.
Yeah, and I should say we're joking as I'm concerned, and Josh, I mean, he could die in the operating room. So how in the world can we be joking if he can die in the operating room? Well, you'll learn something. I don't care. I happen to work with people with addiction and for 35 years work with people with all kinds of addiction issues, mental illness issues, and I've had some people that I've seen die. An ex-police officer that's writing with me on my job, and we talk about our swap stories. We joke a lot because, honestly, we couldn't make it if we took things too serious, as I'm starting to take this serious and ready to cry when I think about my son. But also is Josh is at a place with his relationship with God that if he dies in the operating table, he's at peace. Is that right?
More than at peace. It also means no more pain.
Yeah. And that's my worry. I think he'd have this surgery saying it's okay if I die because then I have no more pain and I know where I'm going. And so I'm at peace. And joking aside, the truth of the matter is our family's at peace because, you know, we're going to have some other interviews where Josh's life has been and where it's at now, and this whole motorcycle crash gave the family peace after he survived through it. And he's not out of the woods, but we know he's right with God, and that's a big difference. And so I want to stop for a second with the show and just share with our listeners all that Josh has gone through. It's a miracle what he's gone through. We feel that every day he's alive is a miracle, and we believe that God's in control, and Father God knows best. And if he chose to allow Josh, I don't think Josh can pass away unless God allows it. And if he allows it, now I say this as a guy that's doing this now, it'll be a lot different on Friday if I got bad news, obviously. But again, that's part of that relationship with Christ that we think is the most important thing out of all this. And if Josh didn't have that, believe me, actually, I'd probably tell him not to do the surgery, to be quite honest. If my son didn't know Christ and was going to in heaven. So this go on. I think the next thing is probably the back, right?
Yeah, we'll just do a quick sidestep. I have a stent in my aorta. There is no rehab to that. It's just something that is my little buddy for life. But then moving to the back,
the reason he has a stent is aorta. I want you to talk just a second for that for people that didn't know.
Yeah, it ruptured in the motorcycle accident. It was my most serious injury that was not found until the hospital, about 2 hours into being at the hospital, and they immediately put me onto a helicopter flight, about a 40-minute flight to a very good hospital that had a very good trauma team. Thankfully, due to the way it was ruptured, I did not bleed out internally. That in itself is a miracle.
So I'll tell you how much a miracle it is. The police officer who's been, I think he said 30 years, something like that, when I told him, he didn't believe it. He said, "You sure?" Because he says, "I've known many people who have punctured aortas and they didn't last more than an hour, 2 hours max."
Yeah,
so,
it can, depending upon how it ruptures, you can bleed out within a minute or two and
yeah.
be dead.
Yeah,
it is very, very dangerous.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the back.
So the back right now, even as of today, I'm in level 6 pain right now. My back is tremendously painful.
Oh, just stop for a second. Nobody's going to believe you're in level 6.
They probably won't, but I've been blessed by God, and I did not know this until the accident. But the doctors told me I have an extremely high pain tolerance. That is the only reason why I can take 6. I was only able to take level 5 pain until about 2.5-3 months ago, and now my bearable limit is level 6. At level 7 is when I start crying and unfortunately start swearing. Level 8
and above,
it gets a lot worse.
To paralysis.
Yeah, my body, we found out my body just can't take a certain level of pain because it's had it so long, and my body will somehow, my brain shuts down my ability to move any limb at all, literally any part of my body.
So when you hear Joshua talking level 6, so that if I was at level 6, well, I want to talk, okay? I would tell you go fly a kite. So but it's the pain, it's not that there isn't the pain, it's just that he's able to deal with the pain. So explain to people, you're not feeling, it's not fun right now.
Oh, no, I was told I have 2 to 3 levels of pain tolerance over a normal person. So that means my level 6 is someone else's 8 or 9. So just imagine how much you think, you know, if you're average, so to speak, in pain, you would be screaming, crying, everything else. That's the kind of pain I'm in. It's just that I'm able to bear it. It does not mean it doesn't hurt. I am in excruciating pain right now. It's just, I mean, I've been living with this now for almost 6 months with this type of pain. And so it's not easy. It hurts beyond belief, but I don't know how to explain it other than God's given me a lot of grace and mercy by giving me a strong, you know, high pain tolerance. It's no different than if you stub your toe. It hurts really bad, but it doesn't stop you from being able to walk. It just hurts really bad for, you know, a few seconds.
Right.
So imagine, you know, something like that where you're walking and your toe constantly feels like every 2 seconds you're stubbing it. That's essentially what I live through.
Right.
And it's just the last few days has been about a 4 or 5. And today, unfortunately, I woke up and my back has been hurting pretty bad. But
And I want to say,
you know, you still got to keep doing your life. You can't just stop.
Yeah, and I want to say that our family members and all the people we have, I don't know how many people are praying for Josh, there's tons of them, but is pray that God give him relief, and if you don't give him relief, give him strength. And we'd rather have him have the relief, the pain just, you know, isn't there, but we know a part of the pain is healing pain, as nerves are coming to back to life and all that, so we know that that just comes with you get better, you get pain, and we like you didn't have any pain, but pain is a good thing at times, and the other thing is that we just also know that if God gives him the strength to go through it, then God gives him the strength to go through it, and he gets through it. And it gives hope to somebody else who believes that they could never go through the pain they're going through. With God's help, you can. So let's get to the back.
Yeah, so we've got two, what they call
vertebrae.
There we go. Two vertebrae were basically exploded. And so I have screws, and they fused.
Screws and rods.
Screws and rods, and they fused four of my vertebrae together. So T8 through T11 has been fused. And so it's in my thoracic, which is kind of like the middle of your back. And
you still can walk in spite of that.
I can. I just today with my
in theory.
Therapist,
I mean, you're not doing a lot of walking, but in
no,
theory,
I use
walk.
A walker and I do small distances today. You know, working with my physical therapist, we did that. It almost pushed me to level 7 pain to the point of, you know, kind of losing control. So we kind of toned it down a little bit, and I am also feeling at the same time. I don't know because I have 6 broken ribs in my backside and only one on the front. And so a lot of my back pain could also be rib pain happening
sure
at the same time. And so it's very hard to distinguish the two. When I cough, I absolutely know the difference between the two. But I believe that I'm probably having a significant amount of pain because of those ribs back there too.
Bill, why don't you do a big, heavy cough, and then I can tell by what you say or do what the pain is coming
from. You know, we found out that actually caused paralysis, a big, heavy cough, and it was due to a medication.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I would say out of all of his injuries, you know, the happy part for us as family members is that the back has done very good overall in the
It has,
and
healing process. I had some minor spinal damage that's healed that was causing some pretty significant issues for a while, but that's healed, and I no longer have the issues anymore. And essentially what it was is my leg would shake pretty violently, and it was because they told me that the back was kind of freaking out because it had some damage, and it was sporadically sending out signals. It just so happened that signal was right at where my almost just above my knee to on the left side of the thigh. And you could actually watch and see my thigh dance. And I had no control over it. And then it would get to the point where it would start shaking my leg. And then as my pain increased and anxiety increased, it would go on to full shaking and the whole leg. And thankfully, that's all taken care of and no longer an issue. As far as back rehab goes, I do a lot of with my PT. I do a lot of different things to, you know, try to stretch out and that kind of thing. And most of the back healing, as far as bones, they're all healed. All those soft tissue healing has to do with walking, because I found out, I did not know this, your back does a lot to hold you upright. And so if as I continue to do walking and stuff, it exercises those muscles and they get stronger. So eventually,
and obviously building your core up, which is hard to build your core up right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And that pain will come down some, and they do know now that some of the pain is nerve pain. They're going to go in and cauterize some of the nerves. And it's basically 6 months, up to about 6 months of some pain relief. Not, you know, it doesn't take all the pain away, but it takes it down quite a bit. I am about to go in to get that done here in about a week and a half. I have not asked yet, but I do know that they did say that it eventually does grow back. I haven't asked if they just cauterize it again or what they do at that point. I was a little scared to ask it.
Right. Okay, we're going to finish up by going to the hip.
So that would be the most significant injury other than the aorta. And it right now is kind of taking a back burner seat. It's about a level 4 and goes to a 5 when I try to walk with the walker. As far as the injury, my hip socket kind of exploded when it got hit by the bumper of the car. And I had about 16 fragments of bone that all broke off from the socket. It was all on the surrounding tissue. They had to go in and remove all that, and was not reusable. Then they had to put straps and a bunch of screws in me. They had to basically rebuild my hip socket. They opted to do that instead of replacing my hip with a hip surgery, artificial hip, because of my age. And I guess I have hip dysplasia, which I didn't know, said that I would have to have most likely 3 different hip replacement surgeries in my lifetime. So they opted to do this to try to fix everything, to push it out so that I'll only have to do 2 hip surgeries in my lifetime. And it's pretty bad, messed up though.
How many bones did you say was broken in the hip?
There's the actual socket itself had a giant crack through it, and then there was about 16 fragments around the basically the whole edge of the socket shattered. Just little pieces chipped off and went shooting through the muscle layers, and they had to pick them out.
So what's the status of you being able to walk normal and all that? What is the prognosis for that?
So I just because I've been doing a lot of day-to-day, I have not asked in quite some time, but originally they had told me that it would probably be about a year and a half, 2 years of walking unassisted without any devices.
Oh, hold on. You're saying that they're saying unless something's changed, it'll be 2 years when you don't need a cane, don't need a walker, don't need a wheelchair.
Correct. Don't need anything. I can just walk down the road without anything.
Okay.
And
I should mention that in our hip surgery, what I've seen is normally about a year with just hip. It's about a year. So with 2 years, sounds like it's going to be a little longer than would be normal. And we should say there were several months that Josh wasn't getting PT. There was all these pain issues that he was dealing with, all kinds of stuff that got in the way of him being able to do what needs to be done. And with hip surgery, it's supposed to be you start doing stuff pretty early. And if you don't, you have issues with the muscles, the tendons, and atrophy, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure that's part of what you're dealing with. Have you skipped anything as we're getting ready to close out this interview as far as rehab?
Let's see. There's no rehab to the stomach.
Just to say the stomach, well, you did have rehab with the stomach because after you got the surgery, the stomach's okay. So
yeah.
Just cover that real quick.
I had this. Yeah, so I had a 4-inch high burn across my stomach in the accident. I was past, I don't know if I was past it or not because I haven't seen the videos, but I don't remember it. But I was laying across my bike at the end of all the mayhem, and I was landing, I believe I was laying on the exhaust pipe. Now, keep in mind, my bike was on fire 4 inches away from my body. The burn on my stomach burned all through all layers of flesh, dermis, epidermis, and hypodermis, all of the skin. And they had to excise all that, and basically they stretched my skin to a 4-inch gap and tied it together. That surgery fixed all of that except for a piece of the suture was in me, and it caused my stomach to have a hole in it. And there was a lot of wound care and stuff that they did, and it took a couple months for that to actually heal that hole up. And so everything now is good on my stomach.
All right.
Aside from a pretty gnarly scar.
Yeah, pretty ugly scar. Okay, as we finish up and we've talked about all these things, I wish I could say Joshua's journey is over. He's got everything done, but that's not the case, and it goes up and down. I am going to be staying with him for at least a month to hopefully get him at a place that he can fly from Seattle from Oregon to Arkansas. The challenge is a long flight. It's one thing to have pain talking on a phone. It's another thing being on a plane. And he's gonna be able to walk away after this, 30-minute segments. He's gonna be able to hang up the phone, lay down, do whatever do, take some pills, whatever he has to do. Don't get to have the same option of flying in a plane, especially when there's a layover and all the other crazy stuff that's going on with that. And there's the rehab we haven't talked about, just emotionally, mentally, going through what he's gone through and dealing with all that. You hear his stories and interviews before, you know, there's stuff with that. The next interview that we're going to do with him, we're going to talk about, and this I think would be part of the spiritual, emotional, mental rehab, is to talk about him making some choices in his life to turn his life around. And literally, I don't know if it was days, weeks, months, but in a very short period of time as he makes that decision, there's a motorcycle crash that turns around and turns his life in a what could be, you know, the most horrific thing at all, but it's actually turned out to be a very good thing, and we'll talk more about that. But really want to get people to listen to the next show. If you are at a place where you've made a decision to turn your life around and everything turns to garbage, you'll want to for sure listen to Josh and I's discussion and how he's learned how to deal with it and be positive. And what honestly, it's very hard for me at times to imagine where his life will not be the same as it was before, and how he's able to deal with all that. Josh, do you have any last words as we close on your rehab or anything?
Yeah, to anybody that's doing rehab, I know it can feel monotonous and it's painful, but I can tell you through personal experience that if you just push yourself and you do what you're supposed to, not be a lazy person, your recovery does go faster. And I've actually been told by my physical therapist that my recovery is going pretty good, and a little faster than I'm expecting. So that is just something to keep in mind if you're in those shoes.
Yes. Okay, so you've been listening to There's Hope Radio. I've been your radio host, Richard Dover, with my son, Joshua Dover. If you want to learn more about Josh's story, hear the ins and outs of it, it's pretty open, pretty vulnerable, you can go to thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org, and there'll be under the categories, it'll say Joshua Dover. You click on that, it has all of our podcasts. He's going to be doing some blogging, we hope, once they get over to where he's at, and they'll have the links to the podcast there also. I want to let you know there is hope, and Joshua is evidence that there can be hope. I also want to let you know if you have any questions about God, relationship with God, about Jesus Christ, any of those kind of things, if you go to thereishoperadio.org, we have links to spiritual resources. You can check that out also. Thank you, Josh, for the interview. Probably if I'd known you were in level 6 pain, I probably not would have done this interview in the first place, but I knew you wouldn't tell me anyway, so it wouldn't have done any good. So thank you for going through what you're going through and giving hope to others.
Yep, not a problem.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only. For more information on what you've heard about today, click on thereishoperadio.org. That's thereishoperadio.org.